thank you, Grace Team, for leading us this morning. While Melissa and I and the family were down at our family reunion in Governor, on the Sunday, Lizzie and I, the rest of the family students, but Lizzie and I went to church, and they weren't. We had our own. We had a family worship service. Okay, you got it. But Lizzie and I and my brother-in-law Dan went to Bethel Baptist Church. I always wanted to go there. We've seen it many times. And so we stopped there and had a great time there. Greetings from Edie and Larry Kearney, who I didn't know that was their church, but it is their church. And the first person who greeted me, of course, was Edie. And he said, "We're from Colfax." "Oh, I know where Colfax is." You know, and I said, "Then here is your term." "Oh, yes." You know, so so we got that all screwed up. But anyway, they sent their greetings. And but it was interesting. It was the last Sunday of the month, and the pastor was doing a sermon on communion, and or covering the passage that dealt with communion. And during that time, during that service, the Lord just told me something. Just like, no voice, no, I'm not getting freaky or anything like that. But I just, in my heart, I knew that there was something that, from this, that it just spoke to me, and I just needed to talk about it today when we are looking at communion. But first, we want to observe the Lord's Supper, and so I'm going to call for our deacons to come forward. As I said before, the pastor at Bethel Baptist Church is doing a sermon on the Luke passage of the Lord's Prayer, a very meaningful sermon, very well done. But he just said one thing, and it just, for some odd reason, it just opened up this picture in my mind of the Lord's table and why Jesus wanted so dearly to do this and to have his disciples participate in this, and then later on, through the Holy Spirit, inspire Paul to write about the Lord's table. And I was thinking about that. And this is not how his sermon went. He went off another direction. I did hear it, some of it. Anyway, but, you know, my mind just started working on this. And it's like, so when we partake in the Lord's table, now, we claim that we are believers when we do that, because that's one of the stipulations that we put out there, is that in order for this to mean anything to you, need to have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what that means. But I think oftentimes when we partake in the Lord's table, we think of one thing. We think of Jesus sacrificing himself for us. And don't get me wrong, that's tremendous. I mean, we need to always remember that. But I think that when we participate in the Lord's table, we really are looking at the past, and we're looking at the present, and we're looking at the future. All these things are involved in this, because I really believe that Jesus instituted this so that we could not just remember what he did for us, or how it happened, or that he hung on a cross, and that he bled for us. But I think there's more to it than that. So I just want to kind of go through these, the past, present, and future, and just kind of lay out some things, some thoughts that I had about the importance of the Lord's table. Of course, looking at the past, you know, we need to remember that we were lost in our sins. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory." We're all in the same boat. No one's better than anyone else. Doesn't make any difference if you were born in a Christian family, raised in a Christian family, or if you were raised in whatever. Makes no difference. We're all sinners, and we fall short of the glory of God. And of course, the issue with that is because we are sinners, in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So, because of sin, death has come into this world. And it's a fact that we all realize and we understand that someday we are going to die if the Lord waits too long to come back, or you know, we're going to die. And that's because of sin. And it's not God's plan that that happened, but it's because of sin that that happened. So we were in a pretty serious situation there. But the second thing we need to remember about the past is that Christ died to save us from our sins. That's what this is all about. That's what the Lord's table is about, is to remind us that yes, we were sinners, and we couldn't do anything about it, but Christ could, and he did do something about it. Now, I like to go back to the Old Testament for this, because the book of Isaiah has a tremendous prophecy about Jesus Christ. And I want to read that to you, Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. It says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Yeah, we were sinners. We were in a bad state. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ, who was going to take the punishment for sin for us. And so Jesus Christ took the cross. He died for us that we may live. Now, he did conquer death because he rose again. And so when we are believers, that doesn't mean we get to escape death. Most of us will probably face that physical thing called death. But because of Jesus Christ, and because of the work that he's done, and because he conquered death by being raised from the dead, that gives us hope in him. And so our sins have been forgiven. Romans 5:6 says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He did that 2,000 years ago. He died for us. And then 1 Peter 2:24 says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and might live to righteousness. For by his wounds, we are healed. So as we look at the Lord's table, as we come there, we are recognizing our sinful state. We are recognizing what God did to save us and the tremendous price that God paid for to save us, and that Jesus Christ ultimately paid. And we need to remember that, because that keeps us in the right place. It keeps us humble. It keeps us recognizing the importance of Jesus Christ in our lives. But we can't stay in the past. We need to come to the present. So what does it mean to us today that we celebrate in the Lord's table? Well, first of all, it means we have victory in Christ. That's the part of this that I don't see too often, is this realization that we are victorious because of what Jesus Christ did, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago and died on the cross. The battle is won. We are victors. Now, the fighting is not over. Don't get me wrong. There's still a war going on. But ultimately, it's going to end with Jesus being victorious. And that's already happened. And nothing can defeat Jesus. And nothing can defeat his followers. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57 reads, "But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are victorious. We need to act like that. We are on the winning side. We need to remember that. Whenever we take the Lord's table, we need to remember the victory that is ours through what Jesus Christ has done. Romans 1 John 5:4 says, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So faith in Jesus Christ, belief in Jesus Christ has won us the victory. And we need to remember that. And also, because we've won that victory, today, as we stand here, we are children of God. We are children of God. Now, Lizzie and Hannah are my children. Melissa, she murdered those two. And I'm responsible for that, probably. That would not set right. I know I'm responsible for that. So I have to take at least part of the blame. So anyway, but there are children, and Melissa and I are extremely proud of them, quite frankly. And the third one over on the west. We love them and we're proud of them, and your children don't match up to my children because they're my children. But you know what? Not only are they my children, more importantly, they're God's children. God gave us these two. God gave us our children. God gave you your children. And he gave them to us to raise. But really, when they come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they become God's children. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." So today, as you sit here, you are not just children of your biological earthly parents, but you're children of God. And that is exciting to me. 1 John 3:1-2 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. For such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." We are children of God, and when Jesus Christ appears, we will be like him. The Bible says too, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So today, as you sit here, you have victory over the world. You have victory over sin. You are God's children. And one more thing that he has done for us is he has given to us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to live in us. John 16:14-17, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about his disciples. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides in you, because he abides with you and will be in you. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, even though Jesus Christ is now in heaven, he has sent his Spirit to live in us. And that comes through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip a verse here and go to 2 Timothy 1:7, Mark, so sorry about that. But I want to just talk a bit about this Spirit that lives in us. And I love this verse. It says, for God did not, this is 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Sometimes I wonder why we as Christians walk around like a puppy that has been beaten to death. Well, I guess the puppies that beat that don't walk around. But I mean, like a dog that has been kicked. You know how their tails kind of go down and droop and their head goes down. We shouldn't be walking around like that because we are victorious. We are God's children and we have His Holy Spirit living in us. And His Holy Spirit is not a cream puff. His Holy Spirit gives us power to understand the victory and to live as God's children. And that is what we have today because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And when we partake in the Lord's table, we need to remember what that means for us today. But it doesn't just end in the present, it goes to the future. And I'm running short on time, so we're just going to look at the things that we have to look forward to. First of all, Christ will return. Christ is coming back. He's coming back. John 14, 1 through 3 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And another great passage of Scripture that I just have to read to you, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. He's coming again. And when he comes this time, we're going to know it. I mean, there's not going to be any question about who he is and what he is going to do. So, Jesus Christ is coming. That's what we have to look forward to. And then when he comes, we will see the fullness of the kingdom of God. Now, we have it partially now. It's here. When Jesus Christ came, he brought the kingdom of God to this earth. But we only see it partially. We don't see it in full. But that time is coming when all things will be put under God's rule. Now, it's interesting that one of the most dynamic books in the Bible that talks about this kingdom of God that is coming is in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Daniel. And if you read the book of Daniel, it is just full of the kingdom of heaven coming. And I'm just going to read one verse to you about it, but it talks about the other kingdoms of the world and it talks about the kingdom of heaven. He says, in the day of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms. But it itself will endure forever. That's a prophecy. That's a prophecy of the kingdom of God coming in its fullness. And there's all these kingdoms that are going around. Of course, at this time, it was the Babylonian, the Nebuchadnezzar, you know, this type of thing. And Daniel is saying to the king, your kingdom will end. Your rule will end. But of the kingdom of God that is coming, the ruler of that kingdom will always be the ruler, and that kingdom will never, ever go away. And then Daniel talks about it in 4:3, in 6:26, in 7:13-14, and there's other passages in there, but that book talks about the kingdom of God. And it's coming. It's here now in a small way, because we're all part of the kingdom. So it's here now. When Jesus came, he brought it. But it's going to come in its fullness, and that's going to be wonderful. And then finally, the thing that we really, should be the foremost of what we look forward to is we will live forever with the Lord. Now, we're just not going to live forever, but we're going to live forever with the Lord. John 3:16. I'm not going to read. I think you guys could probably tell me what it says. But let me go back to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and I'm going to read verses 17 this time, but I'm going to read them both together. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always with the Lord." We're not going to just live forever apart from the Lord. We are going to live together with the Lord because of what Jesus Christ had done. And when we partake in the Lord's table, we need to remember that. We need to remember that we are going to be living with the Lord forever. John 14:3 says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also." We're going to live with Jesus Christ, with God, in the presence of God, forever, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, all these things just kind of flooded my heart that morning in that church service. And I had such a wonderful feeling of joy and of peace and of, I don't care what this world's going to throw at me, I know who I am and I know where I'm going, and no one can take that away from me. And so when we celebrate the Lord's table, I want you to think about these things. I want you to think about the deeper meaning of this, the deeper meaning of Jesus' giving his body and giving his blood for us. What it really means to us as individuals, as believers. When you do that, I think you'll look at the Lord's table in a whole different way. Because I think we need to come to the Lord's table very reverently. It's a solemn thing to think about someone giving their life for us. But then stop to think, he gave his life for us so that we may be victorious in our life, so that we may be children of God, so that we may be receiving his Holy Spirit. And in the future, we will see Jesus Christ coming, setting up his kingdom in full, and we will be with him forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord's table and for what it really means to us. And may we always remember what you have done for us and how it has affected our life. And Lord, help us to live as children of the Almighty God. I pray this in Jesus' name.